All right, so in Acts chapter 5, yes, Dan.
If anybody wants a book, please let us know.
All right.
We're going to have to make another order, for at least our third order.
All right.
And I don't want to leave anyone else out that needs a book.
Okay.
So
please let us know.
Sometime tomorrow, if they want one.
Okay. The book is normally $25, but without a $20 is what we're giving to the book. $20. All right, call us if you wish at 856-854-4452. That's the number of the office, 856-854-4452, if you want a book. All right, in the book of Acts, chapter 5, we stopped at verse 26 last time. Let's begin. Those that are listening to us, if you'd like to quit, you're going to give us a call, 856-261-9018. Give us a call or email us, questions@bftbc.org. Questions@bftbc.org. I guess Dan's got that somewhere.
Yeah, I have
somewhere. Okay. All right, let's read verse 26, Acts 5, 26, 27, 28. I get a little bit of background. Starting with verse 26. Then went the captain with the officers and brought them without violence, for they feared the people, lest they should have been stoned. And when they had brought them, they set them before the council, and the high priest asked them, saying, Did we not straitly command you that ye should not teach in this name? And behold, ye have filled Jerusalem with your doctrine, and intend to bring this man's blood upon us. All right, verse 26. They went to the captain with the officers and brought them without violence, but they feared the people lest they should have been stoned. Who is the they referred to in verse 26, do you think? Lest they should have been stoned. They brought them. The officers are the ones that brought. Who are the them that they brought? All right, they brought the apostles, Peter and John, whatever was that. They're without violence. For they feared the people. Who's the they refer to there? The religious leaders feared the people. All right, they feared the people. Unless they should have been stoned. Who's the they refer to there? Probably the religious leaders, see? Probably the captain with the officers. Yeah, the captain of the officers might have been stoned because the people may have stoned them. Yeah, Tammy?
In verse 21, it talks about the captain should be the Sanhedrin and the Senate.
Uh-huh.
Who would that be, the Senate?
What could be the Sanhedrin?
Is that the Sanhedrin?
It's probably the Sanhedrin, yeah. Yeah, the governing body of the Jews at that time. Well, possibly the council. Council may have been a committee of the Sanhedrin, or it may have been the whole council. Could be. Yes, what? Yeah. Yeah. So, all right, so that they should have been stoned. In other words, the officers and the counselors would be stoned. Who would be stoning them?
The people.
The people. And why would they stone them if they did not bring them without violence?
Because they were healed by these
apostles.
Taken out all of them.
All right. And so if they wrongfully brought these apostles, Peter and John, then the people may have stoned those people, those preachers. They were afraid of that. All right, then in verse number 27, that's where we begin tonight. When they had brought them, who's the they again? The officers, the captains, the religious leaders, the captains, the officers, they brought them, and then again, them referring back to Peter and John, the apostles, brought them, they set them before the council. Now, again, what was the council's prerogative? What was their position? What did they have to do? They were in charge of religious matters, and they dealt with things that are right or wrong, like a judge, sort of like a big, maybe a jury or a judge, a number of judges. They brought them before the council. They were the religious leaders of the day, the ones that told what. And who's this high priest in verse 27? What was his task?
Sense of importance.
In his throne, it's doing his own sense of importance. That's about right. Yeah, Dan, you got something?
Passed away. Hello, everyone, this evening. And Lance Bob is definitely Joe and Norman Fossil.
That's way to Joe Norman, way to California. Thank you very much, Joe. Okay, questions at bfdbc.org or 856-261-9018. I don't know whether, yeah, we have your lesson up there. Now give us a call, a question, or comments. Glad to hear from you. So they brought them and set them before the council. And the high priest had a question. Now in verse number 5, verse 28, what was his question that he asked these apostles, Peter and John? Yeah, do we not straightly command? What does straightly mean?
Immediately.
All right, immediately. Command you what? What was the command? Now the teaching, whose name was they not the teaching? The name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Why did the council, as the high priest, you think, not want them to teach in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ? It was all their power. What had happened to the Lord Jesus Christ at this time?
He died.
He died? Who caused his death?
They did.
The Romans and the Jews, they said, let him be crucified. They were very wanting. So they didn't want anybody to teach in his name. Now, the same high priest that said, kill him, didn't want people to be brought up in favor of him. Because the high priest, was he for him or against him? Was the high priest for the Lord Jesus or against him?
Yes.
He was against him.
Which high priest part of that?
This particular high priest here.
He was against him.
All right, so did we not teach? Now notice in his name, now teach in his name. Why do you suppose the word teach is there? What was the difference? Just talk about him, but not teach about him.
Because they knew it was truth.
It was truth, that's right. What should be taught about the Lord Jesus Christ? What is that whole subject of theology called?
Christology,
the doctrine of Christ. Taught about the Lord Jesus and in his name. What would they be teaching, you think, about him? What would Peter and John teach about the Lord Jesus Christ? What are some of the things? Bodily resurrection. They teach about that. His bodily ascension up to the throne of heaven. Because they saw him when he came up in Acts chapter 1. While they beheld while he was ascended. What else do you think they taught about the Lord Jesus Christ?
Salvation,
that he was a Savior, he died for their sins. Yeah. And his deity, his virgin birth, all these things taught about the Lord Jesus Christ. And the high priest didn't believe any of it, and they commanded them not to teach. All right, let's read then verse number 29, 30, and 31 together. Then, oh, by the way, before this, and what is true in verse 28? What did the high priest observe? Did they obey this command or did they disobey it?
They disobeyed.
What is it called when you disobey a command of an authority?
Civil disobedience.
Civil disobedience. Under what stands or what terms is it right to civilly disobey? And what time is it wrong to civilly disobey? What is it? No, but when is it ever right to disobey? Well, that's true, but I'm just saying before we get to the answer, is it right always to obey?
That's the contradict Scripture. Scripture must be your authority.
All right, if it contradicts the Scripture, yes.
You should obey God rather than man.
That's true.
We are called to obey our government, but when it comes to when they're going down the wrong road, we have to listen to what God says about it.
All right.
And hold on to our constitutional right.
Mm-hmm.
We have freedom of religion, which mm-hmm. is our belief and our
yes.
value system.
Right.
Not let the political party.
Not let the political party. So if it's a contrary to the Scriptures,
God.
We have a right to civilly disobey what the government says. This is the case of civil disobedience to an unlawful order.
Last part, chapter 28,
verse 28. Well, yeah, we're going to continue the last part, yes. Now, what was the reason you filled with your doctrine? What did they think was going to happen if they continued in the verse 28?
I guess they were having a guilty conscience.
Guilty conscience. What did they think might happen if they continued?
They were going to be put to death. Still abused.
Yes.
But they're the ones that were put to death.
All right, they're going to put the finger on the ones that did the job against the Lord Jesus. Bring this man's blood upon us. What does that mean, to bring somebody's blood upon you? Guilt? make them guilty of the crucifixion of the Lord Jesus Christ. Can I answer that?
And show and prove the truth that what they did was wrong.
Uh-huh.
So they were their responsibility.
What? They did not want to be accused. They would be rightly accused because they did. They were the ones that said, let him be crucified, and they stirred up the people. Remember, the people would have let the Lord Jesus go. Pilate would have let him go. There's one that released at the feast, and he thought for sure they released the Lord Jesus. But the high priest and the religious leaders stirred up the people. What then shall I do with Jesus who's called the Christ? Yelled out, crucify him, crucify him, let him be crucified. So this man's blood upon it. But the man's blood, the Lord Jesus' blood, was upon the Jews, as well as about the Romans. And all of us sinners, he died for us also. So in a sense, it was us who placed him at the cross, not in that same sense. We loved the Lord Jesus, he died for us, but the others hated him and were put into the cross of shame. Let's read verse 29, 30, and 31 together. Then Peter and the other apostles answered and said, we ought to obey God rather than men. The God of our fathers raised up Jesus, whom he slew and hanged on a tree. Him hath God exalted with his right hand to be a prince and a savior, for to give repentance to Israel and forgiveness of sins. All right, verse 29. What did Peter and John answer to the high priest? Why have you not obeyed our command? Tammy?
Isn't it more than just John? The other
apostles. Oh, yes, Peter of the other apostles. Yes, that'd be Peter and John, other apostles. Yes, several were there. They were those of the two that have been named, I guess, but there are others as well. All right. What was the answer to that? What did they answer?
God
rather than men. So when man's command interferes with the command of God, what should we do? Now, even if it puts us in jail, yes, even if it's a fair fine, that may be coming because our particular government that we're under here in the United States used to be freedom, used to be the First Amendment, as after I mentioned, freedom of religion, freedom of speech. But now, there's going to be a curtailing, there's trying to be a curtailing of freedom of speech and freedom of religion. The president, for example, is trying to get people to change the biblical belief about homosexual marriage, for example, and homosexuality, and sodomy. I read something today. I sent it out to the people. There are a total of 70 nations that say that sodomy is sin, homosexuality is sin, which is the Bible. The Bible says that. And so now Obama is going to try to force all those 70 nations to be kind and wonderful and accept and change their whole view to pro-sodomite, and let's say LGB, all those people be comfortable in those nations. I hope he doesn't succeed. That's what he's after. We've got a pro-sodomite pastor, president. Let's see what we have. Yes, hello,
hello.
Hello,
Pastor Ray.
Yes.
Yes, sir. I heard on the radio that this is Jacob from the
Kelly Center. Jacob, okay, Jacob, right ahead.
I heard on the radio today that there was a company that had they were doing public gathering with the farm, and that's a pastor, and that they some sodomites wanted them to do a sodomite ceremony, and they refused. They had the reason to pay $13,000, and now they won't have any more for profit or things that they're farming anymore.
Yes. Yes, I remember that. It's hard to understand you, but that's good. Yes, they were going to have a wedding in the barn, in the farm of this particular group, and they refused because they're Christians and they would not have a sodomite wedding, so they were fined $13,000 by our government. And you see, there again, we ought to obey God rather than men. They tried to obey God and His word, and so it's a serious thing. And we're going to have problems with lots of things coming along if we obey God rather than men. We preach the gospel, we talk about... Yes, Bill, I'm sorry.
We're going to continue to have problems until people wake up and recognize the difference between equality and liberty. Liberty is what the country was founded on, not equality.
Yes.
And people need to understand that there is a vast difference between those two terms.
Mm-hmm.
And that finding of that... those people we're not performing sodomite wedding as a good example,
yes.
It should be their liberty, their right to not perform something against their
right. And there's another instance, several instances that before that too, lots of different ones that they're penalized because they will not marry these people. And to be against sodomite marriage, that's against the government. The government says before, for us Christians, we've got to be biblical, and the Bible is against it. We've got to be against it. And one of the laws, it's called hate speech, on the books in the United States. And some of them are interpreting hate speech. If you are against homosexuality, against a homosexual as a sin, that's termed hate speech, and they could be fined or put in prison. Now, Canada and some other countries do have that, and that's what they do. Yes, Bill.
There's also another serious crime that the government, it's not just Obama, the previous presidents, and many in our Congress and the Senate, they're worshiping a newer version of Malice. By allowing these birth control, these family planning places, murder innocent babies before they're born.
Yes, sir.
That's also serious.
That's very serious murder. That's right. If you stand up against the murder of babies, you're going to be trounced by the government as well. Because so we ought to be God rather than men. Many, many things coming upon us. Didn't used to be the case, but now with the present administration and with the number of Muslims that our president has in his cabinet, all personally selected, not approved by the Congress, he's got several, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9 Muslim, black Muslim Brotherhood people, terrorists, that are right there in his cabinet, and of course they're completely against our biblical position of many things, and so there's all kinds of things that we're going to have, but the standard is here, and that we may have to pay a price. The apostles had to pay a price, but we ought to be God rather than men. Then in verse number 30, who is the God of our father? Who is that referring to? What is it? The fathers of God, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. The Elohim, the God of the Old Testament, the God of the Lord, the Father of the Lord Jesus, the God and Father of our Savior. What did the God of our fathers do in verse number 30?
He's resurrected.
Okay, what type of resurrection was that? Bodily. Do all the preachers and churches believe it's bodily? Do they preach it? No. They just say he was raised. They don't say, but a lot of them don't believe it's bodily. Just the spirit rose. See? A lot of these moderns, the apostate schools and teachers and the preachers, but he rose. Our Father raised him up. Now, what was this next thing they said in verse 30? It goes back before the bodily resurrection. What happened? Who's the he referred to? Who's the ye referred to? The ye slew. Who's it? What's it, Dan? The Jewish leaders, the chief priests and the Pharisees and the high priest. Ye slew. Now, they didn't want to be charged, did they? They didn't want this blood upon their heads. But here they pointed right at them. Now, let me ask you this. Was that politically correct on their part? Was that politically correct? That's what they said. No, but did they care? Now, they had fervency. See, we need fervency when we're obeying God rather than men. You
have to remember that they slew Jesus for hanging on the cross. And Jesus, after he was crucified and he rose from the dead, so this caused a great commotion in the area.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and it's more than that. They just blew him and killed
yes.
him. Then he started walking around again.
That's right. And so many people raised from the dead afterwards. Remember, 1 Corinthians 15. Yeah.
Surprise! I don't know what to call it.
Yes. But he slew them. These leaders slew the Lord Jesus. And what did they do after they slew him? Or how did they slay him? How did they slay him? They hanged on the tree. Of course, the tree meaning the cross of Calvary. And so the apostles were very honest. And then in verse 31, what else did they say about the Lord Jesus Christ? In verse 31. He's exalted with his right hand questions at dfcbc.org or 856-261-9018. Give us a call or comment. Glad to hear from you. Or just say hello. So God, it says there in verse 31, exalted with his right hand. What does that mean, exalted with his right hand? Lifted him up with his powerful right hand to be, to what was it to be? What was it?
A position of honor.
Position of honor. Now, you think of the on his right hand, which many times, but this is with his right hand, so maybe it means so long by his right hand. Not sure what that would be, but exalted, his right hand lifted him up, his powerful right hand lifted him up. To be what? What was his now, his new title, Lord Jesus? Prince and what else? The Savior. What is a prince? What does that mean?
Son of
a king. What is a prince's duty?
They don't do much.
What does it imply?
Preparing for kingship.
All right.
Sometimes, at least in modern times, I mean, the princes, modern princes, they join the army, they go to battle, I mean, in some cases, they go on missions. What are duties and responsibilities that pertain to the king?
What's one of his titles in Isaiah?
Prince of Peace.
Prince of Peace. The Prince of Peace. So talk about his reign, millennial reign, and powerful prince. What else was he called? God raised him up to be a second thing, to be a Savior. What does Savior mean, and what does a Savior do?
Deliver.
What is it? Rescues. What they can?
One that saves.
How many people can he, is he able to save?
Everyone
who trusts him, accepted him, generally receives him. He's able to save the whole world, but how many does he save? Those that generally trust him, accept him, and believe on him as their Savior, realizing their sinners, and trust him. Example, but that's the Lord Jesus Christ came into the world to seek and to save that which was lost. Savior. And then what else was his duty after he's been raised in verse 31? To give repentance to Israel. Let me make this call first, and let's go into that. Yes, Rob, hi. Rob Winograd.
And hello to everyone there. It seems government is going to start telling us how to obey God and interpret Scripture for us. Our Secretary of State, John Kerry, at a ceremony for a Texas lawyer, said it is our biblical responsibility to confront climate change and to protect vulnerable Muslim-majority counties in the United States. And he says that this comes from the book of Genesis, and it's our biblical duty. And that responsibility comes from God. So now we got John Kerry telling us how to obey God.
Yes, good point, Rob. Thank you. Let's wave to Rob in Chicago. Rob in
Chicago.
Yes. What did you say, Tang? Or Bob? Or Bill?
What did he say last?
He said that Kerry was telling us how to obey God. How to obey God, see?
We've got biblical responsibility to something about the environment.
The environment, climate change.
It's really humorous because I just read something, and it was about some lady who was just like a little thing that they thought about this one. Sorry for the deviation, you know, but it was about how we're green oriented, and you know, your generation wasn't. I mean, this clerk, and she was a young girl, and then it went through all the things that we like bottles that we would reuse, so you know, people would reuse in the past, and now we just throw the plastic out, you know, so it's really, we're creating a lot more than what we had.
60 years ago.
More frugal then.
Yes.
Exactly. So we were more environmentalist then than we are now.
Yes.
You just poor.
Well, we've got to still obey God rather than Yana.
I think you may have been taking a few verses out of context.
Yes, absolutely. He sure did. Yes. All right.
He doesn't even read the Bible. He can tell.
Yeah. Tell he can't read, doesn't read the Bible. Actually, as far as global warming is concerned, it's totally erroneous. And we have scientists up at one side and down the other that say that our particular activity does not cause things to warm or not warm. That's what they're trying to do. In order to control, what is it?
Sunspots.
Sunspots.
That's what's causing the sun up activity.
Yeah.
It's what's causing the global warming. It has nothing to do with the pollution here.
Yeah. Yeah, Anna?
It's just a normal climate. Some years are colder than others.
Right.
Absolutely. Exactly.
Yes. But if the government succeeds in promulgating this lie that what we do, you know, smoke and various vapors come out of coal and so forth, causes global warming, it's going to hurt the whole world. If they can convince us that lie, then what's going to happen to our fuel bills? Way up, see? And that's already, that's why the president's saying, fire all those coal people. Just think of the people that produce the coal.
See, have a tax to be paid to the United Nations.
The United Nations for this thing. Now China doesn't care about global. Nobody else. Nobody else. But,
so, United
Nations. Yeah, that's right. They're trying to force us to do that. Anyway.
Why
are
we
paying
the tax?
Well,
we're
lawyers.
Yeah.
They want the money. They're not going to think there's nothing they can do about it.
It's a sad thing when our government, like this government here, is trying to tell us how to obey God. We've got to obey God rather. Amen. So he's a God to be a prince, a savior, to give repentance to Israel. What does repentance mean?
Changing
the mind. Changing the mind. And so changing the mind, what should Israel change their mind about first and foremost? Of the Lord Jesus Christ. What should they think he is? Their Messiah, and once their savior that died for their sins. Repentance to Israel, that's the first thing. What's the second thing they're supposed to do? Forgiveness of sins. What does forgiveness mean? What?
Pardon.
Pardon, all right, that's pardon. In other words, who paid the price? Who gives the pardon? God the Father?
Jesus Christ.
Lord Jesus Christ. Before the Lord Jesus Christ came, God looked forward to the Lord Jesus in the cross of Calvary. But it had to be the crucified Savior dying for the sins of the world that paid the price of forgiveness. That's the basis of forgiveness. In whom we have forgiveness through his blood. Forgiveness of sins according to Ephesians and Colossians. So these are the things that the Lord Jesus has been able to do because God the Father raised him from the dead. All right, we're going to stop right there at verse 31. But do you have any other comments on these verses before we go on? Yes.
Oh, just the comment about what Bill was talking about. Maybe we need to pray for Christian scientists, not
Christian
scientists. A scientist who believes in the Lord Jesus Christ.
Yes.
I mean, it's clear.
Exactly.
Who understand the problem. There's
a number of organizations and groups that do.
Yeah.
Are made up of scientists.
Amen.
Who are on the side of the Bible.
Yeah.
Yeah, maybe we need to pray that, you know, these people could come forth and,
right,
you know, teach that. And the church will set everybody free that we want them to
pay. Amen. That. Any other comments or questions before we close? Well, let's close then with a word of prayer. Our Father, we do thank thee that these apostles were not afraid to stand up for the Lord Jesus Christ, not afraid to point their finger directly at the council, at the high priest, as the very ones that slew the Lord Jesus, that hanged him on a tree, ignominious death, in order to save sinners such as we, dying for our sins. We thank you that he was willing to go to the cross. And when the apostles and Peter tried to cut off the ear of Malchus, the guard of Gethsemane, he asked the simple question, the cup that my Father gave to me, shall I not drink it? He was willing. We thank thee for his willingness. We thank thee that he was raised by thee from the dead bodily and seated at thy right hand. Guide us and direct us now. Bring us back on the Lord's day and help us as we live for our Savior. And please help us, Lord, to obey thee and thy words first and foremost rather than men who are trying to change thy words. In Jesus' name we ask and pray. Amen. Thank you for coming.